Hey everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Nerd Stash Show. My name is Taylor Cole, and I am once again hosting this podcast. It's actually been a while since I've hosted a podcast, but that's because a very gracious person filled in for me last week, and that person is none other than Riley. Riley, you're joining me this week. How are you doing?
I'm well. I was really happy to host last week. It was a little bit more difficult than I thought it was going to be, but you know what? I think we had a pretty good episode, so.
I thought you and Michael did a wonderful job.
Thank you.
While I was away doing other things. So, yeah, kind of goes to that. Why was I not here? If you didn't hear Nerds Talk Movies, I don't know if I mentioned this on the podcast before. I am also producing another podcast over from ModernWarzone.com called Modern Warzone Weekly. It's far more Call of Duty focused. It's not going to take away from anything I do here, really. It's just something I wanted to be there for the first episode. Make sure it didn't go off the rails. And luckily, it kind of didn't. And it was a very, very fantastic episode. And I can't wait to do more. But it's not about Modern Warzone Weekly today, Riley.
Okay.
It is about the Nerd Stash Show. And it's about this fantastic podcast. And we have a bunch of things to talk about. It's been kind of a slow week, though, right?
Yeah, it has been. We only have kind of like one sort of story that I thought was worthy of our story of the week, but we do have a bunch of other smaller stories, too. So I think it's a pretty good episode.
I always like weeks like this because it feels like sometimes we get so like overblown with like, oh, this awesome, huge thing that happened, or oh, this person said this terrible thing. We got to talk about it.
Yeah.
It's all these huge controversies, so it's kind of cool to kind of like scale it back and let's talk about some cool things that's like smaller in terms of like notable news. But I feel like we got some cool things. We got Netflix possibly going into the video game industry. Scrolling down here because I didn't actually write this in the show notes for some reason. We got a new Xbox feature to talk about that includes limiting child spending with microtransactions. We got some news on Psychonauts 2, having a new kind of game type in a way, a new difficulty setting. Black Ops Cold War just released a new zombies map. We're going to talk about that. And just some other things, including, you know, a Super Smash Bros. Kind of clone that didn't look all that bad, actually.
It looks really good.
Nickelodeon. So I can't wait to get to that one, especially. But before we get into any of the news topics that we have on our docket today, we have to talk about what we always talk about to kind of ease us into the show every week, and that is, what are we playing? So, Riley, you don't have anything written down here on our show notes. Just kick us off here. Like, what have you been playing?
Yeah,
why being so mysterious?
I've mainly just been playing Ratchet and Clank still. I think I talked about it last week on the show as well, and how I really was enjoying the game and how the haptic feedback on the PS5 controller is a lot more impressive than I thought it was going to be. I know a lot of people have talked about how the, you know, the haptics on it and the adaptive triggers for that matter on the PS5 controller are, you know, really good, but you really have to feel it to believe it. And I didn't believe before that, you know, enhanced haptics were, you know,
I was listening back to last week's episode, and you and Michael were talking about that, and I was like, I have a feeling, like, I don't have a PS5, but you guys are probably nailing exactly what anybody who has a PS5 feels about those haptic controls. It's just so hard to like explain to other people like what it exactly does.
Like, one of the most impressive feelings that the haptic feedback on the trigger gave me, especially with the Ratchet and Clank game, was when, you know, it's a Ratchet and Clank game, so you're going around fighting enemies and collecting bolts. Well, when you're holding the controller, as the bolts come to you, you can feel them in your hands. It's a really hard thing to describe, and it feels like each bolt you can feel, which is super cool and interesting. So I've been really enjoying the haptic feedback and, you know, all that with the game. But that's not the only thing I like about the game. It's the first Ratchet and Clank game that I've ever played. And I just really enjoy the wacky gameplay, especially with like all the weird different types of guns and different options that you have to deal with things. One of my favorite, you know, weapons that I've been using is the Shatter Blast, which is basically you're just throwing bombs around to, you know, explode a bunch of enemies at once. I kind of took the strategy of just like picking kind of one weapon at the beginning, seeing what looked coolest to me, and it was that one. And, you know, I upgraded that 100%, and it's really been working out well. But also, like, I've been playing around with different weapons as well. I think the game does a good job later on in the game making you switch between weapons, because ammo for each different type of weapon becomes more scarce, and so you're forced to kind of switch between the different options that you have. But, you know, there's a few weapons that, you know, I don't think are really like that fun or interesting to play, but that's probably because I haven't upgraded them fully yet. One that I can think of is like I think it's called the Buzz Blades or something, and that seemed like a really cool weapon, but when I use it, it's not very effective, so, you know, I hardly ever use that. But I'm towards the end of the game. I'm actually like at the last, so like when you get to the last mission, it tells you like, hey, are you sure you want to go into this, because you can't back out. And I was gonna do the last mission until I realized that like I didn't really want the experience to end at all. So there's, you know, some side quests you can do in the game. And also, there's this like tournament kind of mode that you can do. It's pretty small, but it gives you just different challenges that you can do for bolts or for other collectibles, things like that. And, you know, I went through all of them. The only thing that I have to say about that is I wish there were more challenges. There's only, you know, like a bronze cup, a silver cup, and a gold cup, and each bracket only has like 5 challenges. So I wish there was more to that, because some of the challenges were really fun and interesting. Like I played one where every time you killed 5 enemies, the game just like automatically switched weapons for you, and you could only use one weapon at a time in the challenge, so you had to use whatever weapon it gave you until, you know, you survived the wave of enemies. And like the last weapon I got when all of the enemies were descending upon me was probably the worst weapon in the game. It's a weapon that I didn't even buy, and I don't even honestly know how it's supposed to work. It seemed pretty ineffective when I was using it against, like, you know, a ton of enemies on the screen. But I just really enjoy, like, especially those challenges, and the game overall, it doesn't take itself too seriously. And it's just a lot of fun, and I appreciate the humor, which I know like Ratchet and Clank fans know all about. You know, there's multiple points in the game that, you know, had me kind of cracking up or laughing. And yeah, I don't know. And I also enjoy the characters too, like not just Ratchet and Clank, but especially the female Lombax Rivet, and, you know, sort of like the lady robot counterpart to Clank, Kit. I actually hope in the future they create kind of like a spinoff, at least a spinoff game or a spinoff series based on them, because I really like those characters. But yeah, Ratchet and Clank has just been a lot of fun, and I'm kind of sad that it's pretty short. I've only played like 3 or 4 sessions, and I'm almost to the end of the game. And so I definitely want to play more Ratchet and Clank. It's made me think about going back and playing the PS4 Ratchet and Clank game, which came out in 2016. And actually, because I have PlayStation Plus, I believe that game is part of like the 20 free games you get on PlayStation. So I might at some point go back to that. Probably not right after Rift Apart, but at some point, definitely. I definitely want more Ratchet and Clank.
Yeah, that's interesting to hear. Like, for one, I'm very jealous of you for having a PS5, being able to play Ratchet and Clank. Like, to hear so many people online and just hearing, like, oh, Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart is so good, and I'm just sitting there like, yeah. Yeah, I bet it is. I really do. I can't wait to get my hands on it eventually if a PS5 ever becomes available for more than, let's say, 25 seconds.
Yeah, it's really difficult to... I got super lucky just because, like, I'm a GameStop, like, pro member. That's the only reason I was able to get one. And actually, like, the only reason I picked up Ratchet and Clank is because I had to get that bundle. It was the only bundle that they had. That and MLB The Show 21, which, side note, I have played a little bit, but I'm not a huge, like, you know, sports game fan. So I think, like, I played one session of that game, you know, got kind of like halfway into the March to October mode and just sort of like tried to go back to it again, but just wasn't feeling it. So I don't think I'm ever going to go back to MLB The Show 21, but I can appreciate why people like that game too. But yeah, Ratchet and Clank is a lot of fun.
Yeah, and before I go into what I've been playing, I think you mentioned something about how when you're getting close to that end of the game, I don't know if you had this feeling too, but it's so weird that you're like, okay, here's the last main story mission. You're so pumped up to get to it.
Yeah.
Or in some games cases, like you just want it to be over.
Yeah.
Like, so it's one of the two. But then in the case of like, oh, I'm really loving this game. I'm digging it. Let's get to the end. And then by the time you get to that last mission, it's that part of you that's like, all right, let's do it. And then the other part of you is like, no, no, what are you doing? Like, yeah. This is the last part of the main story. Like, Spider-Man, like, you know you're going to be able to swing around and do things. But I remember having that feeling playing that game. Like, I knew I was going to the final mission. I knew that was the last piece of main story I was getting of this game. And it made me both, like, incredibly hyped and incredibly kind of, like, just, I guess, a little sad about it at the same time.
Disappointed. Like, it's really funny, too, because, like, I've been going through the game and,
you know, I would say disappointed, but I'm not disappointed in it. It's just that feeling that's just like, oh, man, all right, I guess this is, it's kind of bittersweet.
Yeah, it's like,
that's the best way to put it.
Your time with the game is coming to an end. And it's really interesting because, like, I haven't done any of the side quests, basically, that the game has presented to me so far. You know, I was just going through the story, and it wasn't until they tell me, like, hey, this is the last time that you can, like, go back and get, like, collectibles or do the side missions. And I'm like, well, if I start this mission, I'm probably going to finish the game tonight, right? So, like, I kind of want to do this other stuff now because I don't want it to end.
Yeah, I 100% get you. All right, so I guess I can move on to what I've been playing, and I don't know if you have anything to say on either of these games. We're going to be talking about Black Ops Cold War later, so I'm not going to mention too much into that. I haven't been playing all too much, but Riley, what I've been playing this week, I did not see coming. And I was so bored during the weekend and just going like, oh, I got to play something new. And I thought to myself, went to my game library, went, what can I re-download? And I saw Destiny 2. Sitting there, and I was like, I haven't played Destiny in 3-4 years.
Wow,
it feels like it's been a while since the game like first came out. And with all the DLC that's there for free, plus it being on Game Pass, so you get a lot of those expansions, I was like, I'll re-download it. And I made a new character, and I am loving this game. Like, the gameplay holds up incredibly well. I was very surprised to see that.
Okay. Yeah, I played a little bit of the first Destiny when it first came out. So, like, when it was bad. I actually didn't think it was bad when the first Destiny came out. I quite enjoyed it, but I understand why people didn't like it. But, you know, after I was kind
of... I think it was a lack of personality.
Yeah.
And I think that's where the Taken King, I think that's where everybody was like, okay, just do that. More of that. And I think ever since then, like, Destiny has kind of leaned into that more. Overall, I'm still really enjoying, like, I don't understand a lot in this story. I really don't. It's me easing back into it. I'm trying to get into the lore a little bit this time around. And I'm just really loving the gameplay. I think the gameplay holds players in, especially, like, players like me. Like, oh, this is so fun, and leveling up your characters and getting the armor you want and what kind of playstyle you want. That holds you in just long enough to get invested.
Sure.
In, like, the lore.
Yeah, it's got that good kind of, like, looter-shooter kind of loop to it. I was just going to say, it's really funny because, like, I have the same trajectory with Destiny that I do with No Man's Sky, and that, like, I played both when they first came out and were widely regarded as bad, but I enjoyed both experiences for what they were. And then when they, like, when both of them got good again, like when Destiny came out with their expansions and Destiny 2, and then No Man's Sky started doing the same thing, I in my mind, I'm like, okay, I've already done that, so, like, I'm going to move on to something else. But I'm glad that, you know, like, Destiny is there for people who, like, really want to have that kind of experience.
Yeah, and in regards to No Man's Sky, that's actually very surprising to hear. Because I don't know if you knew, I think the main reason about that was just all the promises made.
Yeah.
And the fact that it just didn't live up to it. And now it is. Like, it all, pretty much a lot of that stuff is coming to fruition now. So in that game's, I guess in that game's case, it really is succeeding. And in Destiny's, I'm just really glad that Bungie is supporting this game.
Yeah.
Bungie, Destiny 2 came out in 2017.
Yeah.
We're getting, I think, another expansion in 2022.
Wow.
Like, this game still doesn't feel like it's over. It feels like, even with, I think it's had controversies over the years. I'm not trying to say it hasn't. But it feels like, as a base,
yeah,
this game has been heavily supported.
They're coming
and
up
I
on,
really respect that.
They're coming up on 10 years, aren't they? Pretty soon.
As a franchise?
Yeah, I think Destiny came out.
As a franchise, I think it was 2015.
Yeah.
So a few years it would have been. I think that was the thing. Like, they said Destiny 1 was supposed to be a 10-year thing.
Yeah.
And instead it gets a sequel a few years later. And now this kind of feels like it's living up to that. Like,
yeah,
going back to No Man's Sky, it feels like Destiny 2 is living up to what they said about Destiny 1. Like,
absolutely,
in terms of support.
I feel like
it's just really cool.
Yeah, I feel like they kind of kept their promise. I mean, even though they said, like, Destiny 1 would be a 10-year thing, like, Destiny as a franchise is, like, almost a 10-year thing, and I don't really see it, like, not, I don't see any world where we don't get a Destiny 3 at some point.
Yeah, but granted, like, Destiny 2 is not going to 2027.
Right.
I'm not saying that's happening. But it's really cool that they've extended it this much, especially when you see other looter shooters, which to me is starting to become like a very oversaturated genre.
Sure. Yeah.
And it's very like, okay, we're having this one, and it just feels not, I don't want to say half-assed, but half-baked.
Yeah.
That's the best way to put it. A lot of these feel half-baked, and Destiny, yes, it's had its problems, but Destiny 2 feels like, okay, that's the blueprint for me.
Yeah.
Like, just great gameplay. You get on, hey, here's what people are liking. Let's just do more of that. Let's have some more expansions. Let's support this game. Keep it going for a few years. Instead of other games that I feel like, oh, it didn't work, or we're done.
Right.
Or, oh, we're just going to get this little bit of content, and then we're going to put the rest behind a paywall, which is going to separate it.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's got that established community, too. They've been around long enough to where there's, like, a deep core group of people that, you know, play Destiny and will probably play Destiny for as long as it's, you know, I think at this point, like, Destiny is, like, right up there with, like, Halo, in terms of, like, notoriety or something. Like, I don't know, like, it's got that kind of core base.
Like, Legacy, no.
Not
I
Legacy.
Don't think it's there. Currently, it's one of the most popular franchises. I can easily, like, say that with confidence.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if it will remain that way for years and years to come. I hope it does, because I really feel like it's starting to hit, like, a stride.
Yeah.
And I know this is coming from a guy who played it for a week, but I'm just talking about the franchise overall and get back into it. Man, like, man, this is pretty fun. And, yeah, it's a little daunting when you go in. You have all these notifications because you have all these expansions.
Sure.
But, so if you are somebody who wants to get back into Destiny 2, my suggestion, I had a Titan build. I went on to that build, and I got very confused on what was going on. So I just, that's why I made a new character, and I feel like that really helped.
Yeah.
Just it really like, helped kind of, and now I can go back to my other build and kind of get what's going on.
Sure. Yeah. No, that sounds great.
All right. So let's move on to our stories of the week. The first one is Netflix reportedly hires ex-EA and Oculus executive Mike Verdue. So as reported by Bloomberg's Lucas Shaw and Mark German, Netflix has hired former EA and Oculus executive Mark Verdue as vice president of game development, a move that seems to signal Netflix's interest in adding game content to their platform. Here's an excerpt from the Bloomberg report. Quote, "The idea is to offer video games on Netflix's streaming platform within the next year." That's very important, by the way. Back to the quote. "According to a person familiar with the situation, the games will appear alongside current fare as a new programming genre, similar to what Netflix did with the documentaries or stand-up specials. The company doesn't currently plan to charge extra for the content," said the person who asked not to be identified, "because the deliberations are private," end quote. So Netflix has prior experience with the video game industry, like the Stranger Things game from a few years ago. You remember that, Mike Riley?
No. Well, it's maybe sort of, but honestly, not too well.
It was like the tie-in with season 3, I think. Like,
yeah.
But Netflix has some experience with it. But with Verdue's previous track record with EA and Oculus, this is much more than just an occasional tie-in to an established series like we were talking about a second ago. And before we go any further, we're actually going to discuss a lot of the stuff from the Bloomberg article, including why Netflix may be heading in this direction. We'll also be talking about what we're personally expecting to see from Netflix here. But we wanted to say that you should definitely check out the Bloomberg article post for yourself when you get the time. It's a very entertaining read. Now that it's covered, let's get this layer by layer, Riley.
Sure.
What are your thoughts on Netflix diving further into the video game industry scene? And this kind of goes hand in hand with the other question. Why do you think Netflix could be giving more attention to video games?
Yeah, so I think Netflix is diving deeper into the video game industry. I read in a couple articles that like they are very interested in having like as much of your TV time as possible. Obviously, because they want people to keep like tuned into Netflix and keep their Netflix subscription going, even though, in my opinion, Netflix doesn't really have, like, Netflix started out as the only streaming service, right, way back in the day, and now they don't have the content that like Disney Plus has. You know, they have their Netflix originals, which are very hit or miss, and you know, they have some stuff on there, but to be honest, I open up Netflix to actually go and watch something very rarely. So I think Netflix kind of knows this and they want to add to their value proposition. Also, I think it's a really good excuse for them to raise the prices of Netflix subscriptions. I'm actually kind of interested to see like if they're going to split their sort of like pricing tier even further and like have a, when you know, they start actually putting games on their platform, I'm, you know, sort of interested to see how they're going to handle the pricing model with that. If they're going to like have a separate tier, if you want games or if you don't want games, because I can imagine there's probably a very large percentage of Netflix subscribers that don't care about video games at all. And so I'm interested to see how they handle that. But yeah, they, and I think it was also noted somewhere that like the executives at Netflix see Fortnite as like a very big kind of competitor, just because it's, you know, a huge entertainment property that is taking away from, you know, like people's time, especially kids' time on Netflix. So I think that's why they want to kind of give more attention to video games. And also I think it might be, from their perspective, kind of a good marketing strategy to have a tie-in game with whatever, like when the new season of Netflix, or sorry, when the new season of Stranger Things comes out, I can imagine they'll have something like kind of like a small kind of Stranger Things tie-in game, you know, stuff like that. That's kind of where I see them going with this. I don't really see them, you know, like getting big AAA development going or I don't see them, you know, like attracting like big AAA developers to put their games on the Netflix platform. I'm actually like a little afraid that it's going to sort of turn out like the Ouya, where, you know, like it's basically a bunch of garbage. I really hope it doesn't end up like that, but that's kind of what I'm worried about. So yeah.
When it comes to this report and specifically, it kind of makes a lot of sense. Netflix for years, really,
yeah,
has been dipping their toes into video games, I think. And I think we've seen reports in the past, over the past several months, over the past year, it's been like, oh, Netflix might be doing this with video games, but nothing really comes of it. And I feel like this is just one of the bigger stories that goes, oh, they really are doing something with it. Because Mike Verda is a pretty notable name in the,
yeah,
you know, game industry scene. It's not like, hey, we're going to be getting, I don't think we'll get to what we're expecting later, but I don't think we're getting something massive. I don't think we're going to be getting the Last of Us style games here or anything, but it's more than just a tie-in to a Stranger Things game. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Occasionally. And if I'm not saying there won't be tie-ins. It's just, it'll be more than just that. That's what it comes across as to me. As why they're doing it, I think it's becoming very clear that video games are one of the biggest industries
yeah,
out there right now. I'm looking at an article right now that it pretty much says the video game industry has exceeded, in the past year with the pandemic, it exceeded film, it exceeded sports, it exceeded all sorts of other industries combined. Like, it was a massive money-making venture. So, no shit. You know, Netflix is going to be, oh, how can we make money off of this? Because you just mentioned a lot of people on Netflix. It's like, oh, new season of Umbrella Academy. Awesome. I'll watch it.
Yeah.
Oh, new season of this. Awesome. I'll watch it. And then as soon as they get done, they're not going back on Netflix.
Yep.
The Office isn't there anymore. Like, I'm saying that as a joke. But at the same time, there was a lot of people who were getting on and just watching that, like, as they're working or just doing other things. So there's not anything for people to go back to. And you have all these other streaming services like HBO Max, and HBO Max is releasing movies on their platform. You have Disney Plus. We just saw what happened with Loki. And you see Peacock do pretty decent numbers. And you see all these other services. And you're like, oh, there's a lot of them out there that's not just Netflix and Hulu. How can Netflix stand out? This feels like that. Yeah. Riley, I also think you hit the nail on the head. I think this was also mentioned in the Bloomberg report. There was a lot of speculation there at the end of the Bloomberg report about why this could be a thing, why Netflix wants to do it. But I do think it could be, hey, we want to raise the prices. This might also help make it seem more manageable. But in the end, it seems like a good move, but we saw what happened with other platforms before when they tried to get into video games.
I'm a little afraid because, to me, like, gaming is not Netflix's core competency. I mean, obviously, right? Because what they're very good at is, you know, like television, specifically television, you know, not just distribution, but like the making of their own content now. Like I said, it's a very hit or miss with Netflix, but when they hit big. I mean, Stranger Things is a huge hit, obviously. And I think that's like what they're good at. And I'm afraid that like them dipping their toes into video games, that's not the main thing that they care about, and so it's not going to be anything really of note, it seems like to me. That's kind of what I'm preparing myself for. It's not going to be anything crazy or good, but to be fair, I think they mentioned this in the Bloomberg article as well, the Apple Arcade thing. Now, I haven't personally played Apple Arcade, but I know that there is a lot of like pretty good like indie games, you know, kind of maybe a step up above mobile games on that platform that you know, a lot of people seem to enjoy. So maybe this will be kind of the same thing for Netflix.
Yeah, that's kind of like going in. I don't want to go into that subject just yet, but that is kind of what I'm expecting, is that kind of like a step above the mobile game kind of thing. I'm not expecting anything like major, major. Maybe we'll be proven wrong. I'm not expecting a Google Stadia here, to where it's like, hey, we're going to be this whole new thing.
Yeah.
I'll believe it whenever they announce it. It's just, and plus after Stadia and seeing how that is working out, it's kind of like, yeah, that's not a good time to announce you're doing your own. So I just see it as more in line with what you said with Apple's.
Yeah, to be fair, there is the Stadias of the world. You know, a lot of people have tried, you know, streaming games, and it hasn't really worked out for most of them. But there's also Game Pass. Now, I don't know if Game Pass is streaming or not, but it's kind of the same idea, right? Where, like, Game Pass, you know, a lot of people consider to be, quote-unquote, the Netflix of gaming. And so, like, I think Netflix kind of looks at that and sees that it can be a successful model. But I think what makes Game Pass a successful model is just that Microsoft has more money than God, and they can buy, you know, exclusivity to almost anything they want. And I don't know, honestly, if Netflix is in the same position financially. And if they are, I definitely don't
think... Netflix is in a weird place. We see articles saying that they're not doing well, and then all of a sudden they make all this money.
Yeah.
And then, no, that doesn't mean anything. They're still not doing well. I don't know what Netflix is financially. Like, I really don't.
But I think, like, even if they are in sort of, like, a comparable financial situation to Microsoft, which I personally don't think they are, but even if they were, they're splitting, you know, like, their finances on developing content for, you know, television, movies, and video games, whereas the Xbox division of Microsoft is laser-focused on that. And so, like, I don't think they can beat Game Pass at all, but I think they can be sort of like a supplement, you know, sort of like it. This is why I think they're going to kind of dip their toes into, like, not quite mobile games, but more the more casual market, because you don't need a box.
It's
to
so
play
early
games.
And this is the part of it where I'm kind of not comfortable getting into, like, this topic.
Sure.
Because it's so early in all this, and I have no idea what is going to happen with Netflix games. I have no idea what Netflix's stance is on it, what they're going to end up doing. All we know, unofficially, might add, is from this Bloomberg article that says that Mike Verdue has been hired as vice president of game development at Netflix, and he's a former EA and Oculus executive. That's pretty much what we know from reports.
Yeah.
Everything else is kind of just us speculating. So I don't know. It could be this Stadia thing. It could be mobile games. It could be something in between, kind of like you're saying. It could be a lot of different things. But I think the very interesting aspect of it is what we were saying at the beginning, is like, what does this mean for Netflix?
Yeah.
Like, is this their way to get that leg up on Disney Plus, on Hulu, on HBO Max, all these other streaming services?
Yeah, I definitely think that's why they're doing it, to kind of, you know, set themselves apart. I think kind of maybe one problem with that strategy is, once they do it, what's to stop Disney from adding games to their platform? Another thing that I'm sort of worried about is the big problem that most streaming companies, especially with video games, come up against is, like, the network infrastructure, at least in the United States, is not where it should be. It is not great at all. And so that leads to a lot of lag, and it leads to, like,
that was the thing with Google Stadia as well.
Yeah, exactly. And that's not Google's fault, and it's not Netflix's fault either. I'm just interested to see, like, why do these companies, if they know that the internet, you know, infrastructure is, you know, a barrier and one that they can't do anything about, why are they getting into this?
Yeah, I think that's something we're going to have to talk about whenever, I guess, Netflix reveals more or there's another report.
Sure.
In regards to why they're getting into this, let's call a spade here. Money.
Absolutely.
And set itself apart to streaming services. So, but I guess we'll just have to wait until a new report, another confirmation from Netflix or something that gives us more to go off of. But I found it very interesting to talk about, like, a streaming service like Netflix possibly getting into gaming in some kind of way and what that would mean. But let's move on to one of the big three platforms.
Sure.
For gaming. Let's talk about Xbox.
All right.
And let's talk about a new Xbox feature that will allow parents to limit their kids' spending. So for years, microtransactions have been a hot-button topic in the video game scene. How ethical are they, especially for games that kids play? How do they affect the overall quality of video games? Are they, to an extent, a necessary evil to allow for more free playable content? So on and so forth. A lot of people have a lot of opinions on them, and I'm sure we'll talk about ours as well in this post.
Sure.
Or in this section. But in an Xbox Wire post, the green brand with confusing console names announced new features for its Xbox Family Settings app. One of those features is the ability to set spending limits. So, for example, little Timmy's parents could set a cap on how much he spends on microtransactions for video games or video games. Parents can also turn on the Ask to Buy feature, which sends a notification to them when their kid wants to buy something that they don't have the funds for. From there, they could either allow the single purchase or deny it. Like we mentioned earlier, there's not much to talk about or dissect. But again, we think all the stories in our other news section were worth noting this week. You have any thoughts?
Yeah, I just think that this is a pretty good consumer friendly thing that Xbox is doing. Like you mentioned earlier, like there's microtransactions are a hot button topic. I personally don't think that they are ethical. At the same time, especially for kids, because they really do like hit that kind of gambling center in the brain. And not just microtransaction, but like loot boxes as well, which I consider, to all kind of be under the same sort of umbrella. And so, I definitely don't think they're good for kids, and especially for parents who, like, the kid goes and buys like $200 or $300 worth of Fortnite skins. That's not necessarily a very good thing. To your point, are they a necessary evil to allow for more free playable content? I think in a way in the past, that's sort of been kind of the excuse for them. But I think this generation, especially where, developers are starting to kind of band together and say, like, if you want these big experiences, the games are going to cost more. I mean, this generation is the first generation that I remember in my lifetime where games have been more than $60, which is kind of a weird thing in my brain, because I have been conditioned my whole life to be like, oh, it's $60 for a video game, that's correct. And now when I go to buy like a PS5 game, it's 70, and that's just like a little bit more for my brain to handle, and I'm like, wow, that's a lot of money. But in reality, it's only $10 more. But
well, Riley, when we were kids, it was 50. And then it went up to 60, and then 70. So, and this isn't necessarily saying like, oh, it should be 50 or anything, but just clarify there. Like, it's went up from 50 to 60,
yeah,
to 70.
I definitely sort of remember when games were 50, but I wasn't buying them at that time, so I don't think I was too cognizant of it. But yeah, games have gone up, but I think that will hopefully help to kind of mitigate these microtransactions in games. I mean, it won't help for things like Fortnite or anything, because those are free to play. But yeah, as far as like Xbox allowing, to have this feature where, you can set spending limits, you can, have notifications show up on your phone whenever your kid wants to buy something, I think that's really cool. The one small piece of criticism that I have about this is that the app, like, I believe this feature is only for phones and it's only on an app. And I think it would be, just a little bit better if they had this kind of feature on the console itself, but I don't think that's too big of an issue. Just really kind of a nitpick.
In regards to the microtransactions, I think with a lot of things, like, it's more complicated than just like, oh, all bad, all good, stuff like that. I think to an extent, and that is a very key part of this sentence, I don't mind them. And the reason why is because I do think the reason these battle passes, microtransactions, I prefer that to the old season pass dynamic that we used to get. That was like, to me, those split the player bases up so much, and it'd be so annoying to be like, I paid $10 for the DLC, but my friends didn't because they were very cheap and probably made the right decision. But I can't play with them because of that.
Yeah.
And it's very annoying. Instead, now it's the free content in exchange of, hey, if you want this cosmetic, it's going to cost some money. Now, this is where I said to an extent, there are some instances, and actually I don't want to say some, a lot of instances to where they overcharge the shit out of these cosmetics.
Yeah.
They will charge you $30 for a orange skin. Just literally just orange camo skin on your weapon or some shit. They literally will.
Yeah.
And that's ridiculous. And when it comes to, is it ethical? No, not at all. When it comes to the loot boxes, when it comes to microtransactions, and that's what worries me with the kids aspect of it.
Yeah.
Because think about when we were kids.
Yeah.
Like, we didn't have, I'm not saying this is like gatekeeping or anything. We had like movie galleries, we had Blockbusters, we had all those things to rent.
Yep.
Like video games and stuff. If we had this stuff, like back then, like we didn't have access to like credit cards and stuff like that. If we had all that access back then and this was going, yeah, we would have done the same thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, so I just think about myself and I'm like, oh yeah, I would have ruined my parents' like bank accounts because you don't know any better. You're a stupid kid. You're like, yeah, I'll spend $25 every week on this when it does nothing. So yeah, it's very unethical because a lot of kids play this, and it, like you look at Fortnite, that's one that I think a lot of people point to immediately. And it's like, oh, that's not cool at all.
Yeah.
I kind of see your point in a way. And then at the same time, I see that it is a free product that gets free updates and everything. It's just finding ways to make it not accessible, as accessible for these kids who their brains aren't developed enough to understand these things.
Yep.
To be like, oh, let's cut that off. Like this Xbox app, this is what I really liked, is that you can actually just set a limit. That's your limit for this week or this month or whatever. That's what you're getting. You're not getting any more. I'll deny it if you try to. I think it's a very good idea. Like, I see no issues with it. Like you said, I don't know if there is something on the console itself. But if there is, that's awesome. If not, then that is a little bit of a nitpick. And I would also like for them just to add that there.
Yeah, I'll also say just like one last thing I think for me about this story is, you know, I was saying that this is a good consumer friendly thing for Xbox to do, which I absolutely think it is. But you could also kind of take the cynical approach that this is, you know, kind of Microsoft just trying to limit their liability. So like if, you know, a kid
also true.
Buys a lot of stuff on the Xbox platform, Xbox can point to this and say like, hey, you could have set up, you know, this, you know, thing to stop, you know, that from happening. So like, it's just a way of Microsoft distancing themselves from that sort of liability.
Yeah, that's very true. And I think we all kind of have that mindset with big companies. That's what we think. Like, no, they're not doing it to be noble or anything. So that's unfortunate, but it is a good thing being done, I think.
Yeah.
Because it is a problem to me in gaming, and I don't think it's going away anytime soon, sadly. And I, because we've been talking about it for years and years and years, and there's been progression in like, hey, is loot boxes gambling? We've seen things taken to court.
Yep.
We've seen things not go forward. We've seen all sorts of things with loot boxes and microtransactions. So it's just going to be another case of we'll see in a year or two where it's all at. But for now, very good on Xbox. I hope a lot of other companies follow suit, because I think it's a very good way to... It's a good first step.
Yeah.
I think, and limiting like how kids can spend this money and not have it to where it's so like gambling and stuff like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, let's move on to... I didn't mean to do this. Because let's move on to a game that has a lot of microtransactions. Call of Duty. The new Black Ops Cold War Zombies map, Mauerdere Toten, is out now. So, are you at all interested in Treyarch Zombies? If so, have you gotten a chance to play the new map yet?
Yeah, so I will say that I don't really have a lot to say about this, because I haven't played Zombies since probably the first Black Ops came out, or whenever the first like Zombies mode came out in a Call of Duty game. That was probably the last time I played Zombies. No, correction, I played Black Ops 2 Zombies, so that was probably the last time. So god, it's almost been 10 years. But I can't really speak to modern Zombies stuff, but if it's anything like it was back then you know, I like it, but I don't know anything really about like what is happening in the modern era of like the Zombies mode. So
the first Zombies mode was in 2008.
Yeah.
With World at War?
Yeah, I think that's right.
So, you played that and then Black Ops 2?
Yeah, I probably played World at War, Black Ops, and Black Ops 2. That was probably the last one. Yeah,
I played a few matches of Mauerdere Toten. I mentioned at the top of the show, that's another game I was playing, was Black Ops Cold War, and I'm kind of not caring for this map.
Okay.
Like... A thing of, and it's sad because I think a lot of the topics we have here are like kind of positive.
Yeah.
And stuff. So this is like the one thing here I was like, I'm kind of not digging it. Like the design of it's fine. I actually think it's a lot better because it's more like horror centric.
Sure.
Than other maps. And it has this feel to it that's pretty cool. You're like in the streets of Berlin at night and you can toggle a flashlight on and off, and.
Okay.
A lot of the enemy types are pretty cool. It's just, I think it's way too, like, claustrophobic in some areas. Like, it feels disjointed to me. Like, I know I'm also, because you're not a huge Zombies fan, so I kind of feel a little bit like I'm talking to myself, so I apologize.
No worries.
But with these Zombies maps, I love the ones that are, like, more open.
Yeah.
And, like, you can go anywhere, you can open up areas, you can find ways to open up areas, and so far to me, this feels like I have to take a zip line here to get here, I have to learn how to get here, then I have to find a quicker way to get here so I can get to this other area and unlock this area of the map.
Yeah.
All right. It's just, it's a lot to take in and a lot to do, and it's just unfortunate because it's been so long. I feel like I wouldn't be as harsh on this map if it's been 6 months since the last round-based Zombies map came out with Firebase Z. So, not digging it so far. I'm hoping me playing a few more maps, a few more rounds, I mean, will get me into the flow of it. Maybe I like it a little more. Maybe I can do the Easter egg and really enjoy it. But so far, it's just all right. I was hoping for it to be amazing, because yeah, the trailer for it was amazing. You ready to move on?
Yeah, let's move on.
All right, so moving on to our next story, Psychonauts 2 will have an invincibility mode. So Double Fine Studios announced that Psychonauts 2 will have an invincibility mode for players who just want to experience the game. They said, quote, "All people should be able to enjoy games. All ages, all possible needs. It's an ongoing and important process for our industry and challenge we need to meet. End of the day, we want you to have fun, to laugh, to experience a story that affects you on whatever terms you want," end quote. All right, Riley, I'm confusing all sorts of names here. I'm not used to hosting again. That's one thing that's getting me on this episode. Riley, I'm going to plead ignorance.
Sure.
On this one. I don't know if this was a real debate online. I was looking at some comments, and it seems like it was one of those things where it's like, I can't believe people are being assholes about this. And I don't know. Or if this was a controversy made from nothing, or there really are people out there gatekeeping these days about difficulty levels in video games.
Sure.
Do you have any thoughts here on Psychonauts 2 getting an invincibility setting?
No, I just think
all the talk around it.
I just think it's a, you know, overall good thing. I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with somebody going through a game to just like experience the story, or, you know, just experience it the way they want to. I also don't really know if it was a real controversy. To be honest, from what I saw, it felt kind of like made up, but like made up in a funny kind of way, you know, kind of like, you know, Tim Schafer, you know, kind of funny way. So like it felt made up, but it was also kind of funny. But yeah, I just think it's a good idea to have people be able to go through games like however they want, especially like when you consider people with disabilities and, you know, things like that, that really prohibit people from, you know, being able to complete games. And so like an invincibility mode, I feel like, kind of a side note, something that we've been seeing a lot, you know, kind of on the tail end of the last console generation and, you know, beginning with this generation, is a lot more focus on accessibility in games. I was mentioning Ratchet and Clank, and like it's not the first game I've played recently that has really good accessibility options, but it definitely has way more accessibility options than, you know, I've been used to in the past, where like, you know, specifically I play games with subtitles because, you know, I'm a little hard of hearing, but the subtitles, you can, you know, change the color of the subtitles, the setting, or the size, the color. I believe you can change the font. You can have it have a background or not a background. And so like, you know, developers are much more focused and I think aware, or they care more about accessibility in games. And I think this is just one of the, one of, you know, those kind of things where, it's meant to make the game accessible, to everybody. You don't even like, they definitely want people playing their game, and if, you know, a game is too hard, that's going to prevent people from playing it, so why not add an invincibility mode? I think it's fine.
Yeah, this is where I was just like, this has to be coming from nothing, right?
Yeah.
There's no way, like, we as human beings, I've said this countless times on this podcast, we as human beings are pretty stupid. There's no way we're this stupid. Like, right? Like, there's no way we're out here arguing, like, oh, you didn't beat this game on the hardest difficulty? Oh, you shouldn't be playing the game. Who cares? I have never once been in an argument with my friends over, oh my god, you didn't beat Halo on the hardest difficulty? Oh, you didn't beat it at all.
Always
been like, oh, you haven't beat it on the hardest difficulty? Oh, yeah. Let's do it. It's always been, like, not that negative aspect of it. It's always been the positive, like, okay, let's go through it, let's do it, let's do it on a harder difficulty. I've never had that conversation to where somebody's flaunted over, oh, I beat this game on a hardest difficulty, you guys suck. Like, what are we doing?
It's like, why would you care about how somebody else is experiencing a game?
And I've seen people also, like, celebrate, like, yeah, I beat Halo on Legendary. Like, that's an amazing achievement, by the way. That game is very hard, so yes, round of applause for you. But
I will say,
it's bad gatekeeping on both levels here. And if there was gatekeeping here, that's very stupid. In terms of this invincibility mode, also, awesome, round of applause here. But for people who aren't going to use that mode, or that difficulty level, why do you care?
Yeah, I will
that's
say
where I'm coming down
that, like, while it seems hard to believe that somebody would, you know, kind of be gatekeeping about, like, how good somebody is at a game, or, like, what level of difficulty somebody finished a game on. I remember when the Doom remake came out in 2016, and I don't remember what news site it was that posted gameplay of the game, but, you know, the person playing the game wasn't as good as people on the internet thought they should be, and they got a lot of shit for that. So, like, I've seen this happen in the past, but, you know, I would like to think in the past, you know, few years, you know, the internet has, you know, gotten better at that, but, you know, there's always, you know, there's always shitheads, I guess.
There was something, like, a few years ago about, like, somebody who was bad at Cuphead, or something like that.
Yeah,
Cuphead's like one of the hardest games out there.
Yeah.
Right now. Like, what is going on? Like, people, like, it was some gaming journalist who, like, was playing the game and he was not doing a great job.
Yeah.
And just got shit on for it. And I'm sitting there like, okay. That's a very difficult game.
Yeah.
Why are people talking shit here? Like, but yeah, I think just the gatekeeping in general is a little, like, ridiculous. Like, yeah. I've heard of trash talking before, especially in competitive multiplayer games.
Yeah.
No problem with that. We're sitting here, we're talking about Psychonauts 2 having an invincibility mode for people who just want to experience the story, or for little kids who don't want to, who, you know, you don't want kids playing on normal or hard difficulty, of course. They don't really know how to play a video game.
Yeah.
So, actually, stuff like that, or people who just want to experience a story or something like that. Yeah, who cares? Like,
now that you mention, you know, like, for kids, it's, you know, kind of, like, dovetails into my kind of experience with the first Psychonauts game. Like, I remember playing that game when I was a kid, and I specifically stopped playing it because I got stuck. And it was probably because I was just a dumb kid, but, like, I got stuck and I moved on to something else, and I've never finished the original Psychonauts. So,
see, I've probably done the same. I just can't remember it.
Yeah.
We do that a lot as kids. Like, there's some things like, yeah, we'll play through and learn it. But then there's some things that's just, oh, ain't worth time. I'll go do something else.
Yeah.
It's just our attention spans, which aren't great now, but it's a lot worse.
Yeah.
Back then. So, yeah, it's just a little ridiculous to me. Anything else to add here?
No.
All right. Let's go ahead and wrap up the show with... Oh, I've been waiting all week to talk about this. Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl has been announced. For real, this is not how we expected to end this week's news coverage. But here we are. As reported by IGN, Nickelodeon is coming out with its own Super Smash Bros. Type of game, called Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl. The game features, as you would expect, many classic characters from around the Nickelodeon verse, or whatever you want to call it,
sure,
including SpongeBob, Patrick, Sandy Cheeks, Reptar from the Rugrats. That one was actually pretty cool.
Yeah.
Because he had that radioactive Godzilla breath, and that was just awesome to see. The Ninja Turtles, Helga from Hey Arnold, Ablina from Ah, Real Monsters, Invader Zim, Danny Phantom, Nigel Thornberry from the Wild Thornberries, who is just nightmare fuel. Like, I don't know if you've seen the character model, but it's just nightmare fuel. And I'm not saying this to crap on the animator. There's nothing you could do. I think just the original design of this character is supposed to be, and I think it is, nightmare fuel.
Yeah.
There was also a trailer for the game with some actual gameplay. So, Riley, yes, what are your thoughts? I don't even have a question. You know what? Just...
My thoughts...
Take it away. Wherever you want to go with this, go. I don't have a question for you.
I rarely experience as much nostalgia in one kind of, like, compact package as I got watching the trailer for this. To be fair, the gameplay just looks, you know, it's Smash Brothers. So if you like Smash Brothers, you might like this, but just... seeing all of these characters and, like, their design, and I don't know, just, like, especially seeing characters from somewhat forgotten, you know, like, cartoons of our childhood. Like, I watched Ah, Real Monsters all the time, and I feel like nobody remembers Danny that Phantom. Show. Yeah. So, like, you know, to see that, and to see Danny Phantom, and even Nigel Thornberry, and just, like, all of these characters, it just seems just like such a throwback to, like, my childhood. And also, like, you know, I don't think I'm going to be playing this game, like, a crazy amount, but I know when it comes out, it's going to be, like, the perfect game for me to, like, get together with some friends, maybe have a couple of beers, and just, like, have fun with it, you know? I'm really excited for this game, to be honest. And yeah, the nostalgia is real.
This is a game that when I watch it, I watch this trailer, and I went into it fully expecting to go, because the internet was blowing up about it.
Yeah.
So once the internet starts blowing up about something, I usually go, hey, you know what? I'm going to go see what people are making a big fuss about.
Yeah.
And it's Nickelodeon, making sure I get this title right, All-Star Brawl.
Yeah.
And I was like, this sounds really dumb. Let me take a look. And the trailer was actually pretty good.
Yeah.
I was like, this is a Smash Bros. Clone. What? It shouldn't be this good.
Game of the year.
Yeah, I'm like, what? It's showing some gameplay, too. I was just so excited and kind of surprised at the same time. This is one of those games that I probably will never buy.
Yeah.
But I will very quietly be hoping every week that there's an announcement from Xbox saying it's coming to Game Pass. I will not make that known outside of this one episode of this podcast.
Yeah.
But every week until it's released, I will be hoping for some kind of weird announcement from Xbox going, yeah, Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl, it's coming to Game Pass day one. So I can be like, okay, we're all downloading this.
Yeah.
Let's play. I will be Nigel Thornberry because that guy is going to be OP. Have you seen some of the moves he had?
I've only watched the trailer once, but
I don't know if it was him, but like there was one character who just like slams his head down. Like, that's the move. And I was like, yeah, that looked like it would murder somebody.
Yeah. So you're going to main Nigel, huh?
Main Nigel.
All right.
That's
I think I'll be SpongeBob all the way. It's actually kind of funny.
Yeah, I feel
too.
Like that's picking Mario and Smash Brothers. Like,
yeah,
it's kind of the boring pick.
Yeah, you know. But it's actually funny because like I didn't see this announcement until probably yesterday, I think. And my husband and I actually have been going through like watching old episodes of SpongeBob. So like it's kind of like a weird kind of weak for Nickelodeon for me, but like I will definitely like play this, and you know I'll play other characters besides just SpongeBob, don't worry. I mean the Ninja Turtles are in there, which is pretty cool.
Hey, characters from Hey Arnold,
yeah,
are here. Like, who is this guy? I don't know if these franchises have returned.
Yeah,
I don't know if they've been remade completely. Who is this game for? Is it from like us?
I think
as well?
So I think
like, it's seeing Helga from Hey Arnold is just sitting there like, who else you got here? Like, are we going to be playing as Arnold's like grandpa? Is he going to be in this game? I would lose my mind if that's like an announcement. You know how like Smash Brothers has their trailer announcements?
Yeah.
We talked about the Kirby, the awesome Kirby one with Kazuya from Tekken. Could you imagine if we get a trailer like that with Arnold's like grandpa?
Oh my God.
I would lose my shit.
See, okay, this is definitely for, like, people as old or slightly older than us, because, like, I don't think, like, I have geeked out about a game, like, this hard on this podcast specifically besides this game.
Well, it's partially trolling,
yeah.
But it's also partially, like, it looks legit pretty good.
Yeah. It's kind of like a shitpost in a video game format, but, like, it looks fun, and it, like, will be something that I will probably play with my friends. Just like, I don't know, just like a huge hit of nostalgia. Like, and you know, the matchups are going to be fun. Like, I'd love to see like, you know, Invader Zim fight Danny Phantom. Like that's just fun.
Man, I hope. You think we're going to get like Cosmo and Wanda?
Oh God.
Jimmy Neutron?
Oh God, I hope so. I'm actually interested in why they showed the characters that they did, because, you know, in my head canon, it's gonna be a huge roster. I mean, I could be wrong about that, but like, I hope it's gonna be a huge roster. And like,
all right, so we actually had a little bit of a audio problem happen here. I don't know what really happened. There was some kind of issue with our connections. But I just went on an epic rant about Arnold should be in that Nickelodeon game. Riley heard none of it. And unfortunately, I don't think any of you listening heard it. But you know what? It was pretty awesome.
Well,
that's
look,
all I will say.
I'm excited to have old football head in this game.
I hope he is there. I really do. Because he is just a fantastic character. And not only that, he is one of the mainstays for Nickelodeon. So, yes, he should be in this game. But let's end this podcast. Let's end this episode, this weird episode that feels like it's gone off the rails a million times. And let's go and talk about what we're working on and where can people find you. So, Riley, what are you working on? Where can people find you? You know what to do.
Yeah, I'm not working on too much. I'm working on this show. You know, I'm on this show, you know, pretty much every week now. Sometimes I'm on NTM, Nerds Talk Movies. We just had a pretty good discussion about Black Widow last week, so that was fun to be on there. I really like those kind of, you know, kind of deep dives into, you know, specific movies. But yeah, you can find me in the Discord, and yeah, that's about it.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the spoiler talks, too. I was talking with Tristan about us doing retrospectives.
Yeah.
It's something I think both of us are very interested in. I don't know if you would be interested, Riley, or Michael, either.
Absolutely.
I'd have to get with him about that. I really don't know, because part of me kind of, I love the news formats of Nerdstop Movies, but creatively, I kind of like the idea of us going into these retrospectives and these spoiler talks more than we do news.
Yeah.
So if you are somebody listening who just really enjoys us talking about news on Nerdstop Movies and reacting to that more than these spoiler talks, please comment on this episode telling me that, so I know, like, hey, there's more support towards that, so we need to keep doing the thing people enjoy listening to. But I can only go off of what I think creatively works for the show, and I think that's the spoiler talks and retrospectives. That's where I'm leaning towards right now.
Yeah, yeah, I really enjoy doing that, you know, those you know, retrospectives. I like the idea of doing retrospectives is a lot of fun, because, like, I love watching, like, older movies, so, like, yeah, I'd be really into that.
But yeah, I guess you could find me over at Taylor_Cole55. On Twitter. I sometimes say some dumb but entertaining things there about video games, movies, TV shows, or whatever. Other than that, you can find me over on this podcast, The Nerd Stash Show. You can find me over at Nerdstop Movies. We're going to be having a Loki spoiler talk on this upcoming episode. I cannot wait. I watched the finale yesterday. I cannot wait to all talk right about that finale. It is so jam-packed with information and just so much to talk about. But other than that, you could also find me over at modernwarzone.com. I sometimes write about Call of Duty news over there, and also check out the Modern Warzone weekly podcast as well that I produce, if you're interested in Call of Duty news. So I think that about does it for this episode of the Nerd Stash Show. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Nerd Stash Show. Consider subscribing and leaving us a review on whatever platform you find us on. And it would be really cool. Extremely cool.
Very, very cool.
If it was a positive review. Just saying. Like, it doesn't have to be, but it would be really awesome if it was. Be sure to check out Nerdstop Movies. I just plugged that a second ago. Finally, check out thenerdstash.com. We have some amazing writers over there doing some great work every day with video game news, with movie news, TV news, comic news, you name it. There's some great things being done over there. Riley, I want to thank you for joining me and running up the show notes. I want to thank anyone out there for listening, whether it was for 5 minutes or the whole show. I don't know how you could listen to this for, well, where are we going? About an hour?
Yeah.
I don't know how you could do that, but we sincerely appreciate that you do, and we'll see you next week.